Well, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Yes, I am depending on the Lord to give strength to my voice. I've been told this morning that you prayed for me, and about mid-service this morning at Terre Haute, I did sense some strength coming to my voice, and I'm just taking this as an immediate and direct answer to the Lord's prayer, your prayers to the Lord, and I'm trusting Him even as we come to this text. We do come to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to carry on in this book that really presents to us the pathway of wisdom, the pathway of wisdom. And to introduce this text, Proverbs 3, 13 through 35, I want to give an illustration that just will perhaps introduce this for us. Our family has been discovering over the past few weeks the value of having history lessons by using two placemats. We have one placemat at our table, that's the Presidents of the United States, and another, that's a world map. And you've seen placemats like these. And once our kids have understood what they represent, it's amazing how many history lessons you can have about World War II and the Civil War and world travel and all that. The placemats create a way to do kindergarten civics lessons. And what we see in this text is that we see Proverbs 3, 13 through 35 functioning somewhat like those placemats, giving roadmaps, we won't call them placemats, roadmaps that then lead toward application in our life. And just look at the text briefly to get a sense of it. It's really four poems as part of one poem. The first verse 13 through 18, and then another verse 19 through 20. These will provide our two roadmaps. And then verse 21 through 26 is a poem. And then verse 27 through 35 is another one more focused on application. So two roadmaps and then two applications. And this evening, we're going to focus on the first two roadmaps, verses 13 through 20, and consider those in context of the application in verses 21 through 26. And then next week, verse 27 through 35, in context of the roadmaps as well. So it's a bit complex. You can do it. Verse 13 through 26, that's what's guiding us this evening. This is the Word of God. We will give ear, for this is indeed God's Word. We'll read Proverbs 3, 13 through 26. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion and they will be life for your soul. An adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Let's pray. Lord, be our confidence. Keep our foot from being caught, even as we would consider this text this evening. Give us your strength, we pray. Give us your spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was about 10 years old, a television commercial left me almost sleepless for over a month. As my family often did, we were watching basketball, and a commercial came on depicting Satan and his demons scurrying around wherever they are, scrambling for something to drink. And the commercial was just trying to be humorous. And as I observed this supposedly humorous image of Satan, I was terrified. Terrified. And I would lie awake on my bed at night. Am I going to go there? I've heard in Scripture, I would ask myself, I've heard the Bible say it's a lot worse than that commercial shows. What's going to happen to me if I go there? And the particular sleepless question that really kept me up was this. If I go to sleep one night and don't wake up, where am I going? In short, I had nothing. I had the opposite, really, of the Proverbs 3, 24 through 26 confidence. I lied down and I was afraid. My sleep was not sweet. I was definitely frightened of sudden terror, the ruin of the wicked, fearing it would be mine. And I just wasn't sure if the Lord was my confidence. And the discovery we make is, or the discovery I've made, is that that desperation and that confusion was not unique to me. All you have to do is look at Scripture. We sang about it, Psalm 6. We see it here. Scripture speaks to a people of sleepless desperation. You say, well, we don't even have to look at Scripture. We just look at our own lives. Look at your friends. Look at your family. Look at yourself. Maybe the sleepless desperation is your own. It's striking, it seems, whether it's assurance of salvation, the deep burdens of life, the broken relationships. It seems so often that our soul hangs in the balance right around 2 in the morning. And the question is, what do we do about it? What do we do to find the Lord as our confidence? And let's be clear, we're not just talking about sleeplessness per se this evening. Perhaps for you, it's not the night of sleep. Perhaps for you, it's verse 23 as you're walking on the way and you fear that your foot is going to stumble. Perhaps for you, verse 22, you just don't see any life in your soul anymore. What do we do about it? Verse 21, really the singular plea of the text, my son, do not lose sight of these. What are these? The roadmaps. The way to life that's just been presented, verse 13 through verse 20. And the idea is this, if you understand verse 13 through 20, and then you go through life and you're walking, your feet are on the path, then verse 26, you will know the Lord is your confidence. You will rest secure as you understand the blessing of the Lord's wisdom. Rest secure as you understand the blessing of the Lord's wisdom. And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to understand the blessings of verse 13 through 20 in view of our need to rest secure. And let's be clear, this is cognitive. We need to understand some realities. And as we understand, our soul will be shaped in trust for the Lord. And the first roadmap we need to understand is this: wisdom offers the tree of life. Wisdom offers the tree of life. Verse 13 through verse 18. Just orient yourself for a minute to how verse 13 through 18 are structured. Verse 13 begins with the word blessed. Verse 18 ends with the word blessed. The idea here, the way of blessing, the blessing of wisdom. And what is the blessing of wisdom? Well, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. And then we race through verse 14 through 17. Wisdom's gain is better than precious silver or gold. It's better than jewels. It's better than all the world's desires. It brings long life. It brings pleasant ways. All themes we've seen so far in Proverbs. But we sense that we're building toward a climax here. We're building towards something. What is it? What is it about wisdom that makes it so valuable? Verse 18, wisdom is a tree of life. Wisdom is the tree of life, a new expression in Proverbs. But as you hear that, it's not a new expression in Scripture. And it's not an accidental reference here to a tree of life. Well, what is the tree of life? Remember Genesis chapter 2. It's there in the garden. Adam and Eve, a sign, a display, a sacramental almost representation of the reality of life and prosperity with God. That tree representing life with God, even life eternal. But what happens? Genesis 3, they eat the fruit. It's more desirable than wisdom. Think Proverbs 3:15. They eat the fruit and they're kicked out. And Proverbs 3 ends, and there's an angel with a sword blocking the way to the tree of life. The tree of life is lost. Perfect life and communion with God is lost, and it is lost. The tree of life isn't even referenced again in the book of Genesis or in the Old Testament until Proverbs 3:18. The last time we saw the tree of life, there was an angel of fire blocking the way. And here in Proverbs, it's not an angel blocking the way. In fact, the way to the tree of life, again, is presented. It's not the way out, it's the way back. And finding the way back is the key to sleeping secure. It's not just a finer point of theology. We have to understand what is the way back to the tree of life. Let's think further about verse 13 and following to see that way back. Verse 13 begins with this idea of blessed. Remember, Adam and Eve were blessed. Blessed in the garden. And then, as we carry on, it's at this point, verse 13, that the ESV is actually a little disappointing here. Usually a good translation, but verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. That word one, and many of your translations have this, is the Hebrew word for man. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. And I wonder if there are any of you who know what the Hebrew word for man is. Adam. Verse 13. Blessed is the Adam who finds wisdom. Now, Proverbs 3:13 is not necessarily speaking of the first Adam in particular, but it is saying this. Here is the way of man. Here is the way of Adam to gain eternal access to the tree of life. And what is that way? Pursuing wisdom, seeing it as better than silver, better than gold, more precious than anything. And verse 16 and 17, it leads you to life. In many ways, Proverbs here puts in the positive what Genesis puts in the negative. We often talk about this as the covenant of works. Genesis, don't eat of the tree of knowledge, Proverbs' word, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil or you'll die. Proverbs, pursue wisdom. Adam, pursue wisdom and you gain long life. And what does Adam do? He pursues the opposite of all this. He pursues the world's desire. Instead of long life, death. Instead of ways of pleasantness, the ground is cursed. Instead of the tree of life, an angel in the way. But you see, Proverbs isn't educating us on the way out. We already know that. Proverbs is showing us the way back in. The way for an Adam. Is there an Adam under the covenant of works who will hold fast to the tree of life that we may be blessed? 1 Corinthians 1, Christ, the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Scripture here is not saying you hold wisdom or there's still a chance for you. You know, you've not done it so far, but if you reach... Scripture's not going there. Scripture's saying you have to be the Adam who pursues and holds wisdom in perfection. And Scripture is saying this, there is an Adam. There is an Adam. As we look at the scope of Scripture, there is an Adam who held to wisdom, who sought not the desires and the riches of the world. And then he hung on a tree of death and won back for us the tree of life. And in the last chapter of Scripture, Revelation 22, blessed are those who have washed their robes. Blessed are those washed in the blood of the Lamb. They have the right to the tree of life. You want to rest secure tonight? You want to be confident in the Lord tonight? Don't look at yourself. In Christ, the tree of life, the sign of full and restful life in the garden is yours. And it's yours in the future, Revelation 22, but you get the language of Proverbs 3. It's offered to you now, a present reality of life with God. In the recent film, Tree of Life, a film that's actually attempting to show this exact reality, the opening scene depicts a mother. And she's looking and she's thinking about various scenes from her life, and they're chaotic. There's chaos in her life, but as the scene ends, it circles back to her backyard, where there's this large tree that's almost ascending to heaven. And she remembers joyful, paradise-like scenes around the tree. And she says this of her chaotic world, love is shining through all things. That's the message of the tree of life for us now. It's a chaotic world, yes, but God has promised us communion with Him now. We taste the first fruits of communion, and in eternity, we will eat of the tree of life. When we were having our first child, at the birthing classes we took, I remember being taught how to meditate on a place of peace. And this is supposed to be for my wife, to meditate on certain things at a certain poor period of time. Well, the Christian finds himself or herself in times of crisis meditating on the tree of life, meditating on what Christ has accomplished. Kids, if you're scared to go to bed, sometimes there are things that come up in your life that make you scared to go to bed. Meditate on Jesus Christ. Meditate on what He's done, how He's brought the tree of life. Any of you, if your confidence this evening, if verse 26 isn't quite true for you, consider Christ and the tree He's offered. The mind of the restless Christian is often in the garden of God, enjoying the shade, enjoying the fruit of the tree of communion with Him. Now, some of you at this point says, well, that sounds beautiful, and it also sounds a little mystical. How about something down to earth? How about something in this world where the things are actually causing my anxiety? And that leads us, to the second. Sorry there, I thought that was the water dropping, which would be a concern. It's just a bell. We're led to the second roadmap, and it's this. Wisdom brought the creation of the world. Wisdom brought the creation of the world. And that's verses 19. And 20. Verses 19 and 20, wisdom isn't just bringing us the tree of life. Wisdom is bringing the creation of the world. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. And it's at this point, some light bulbs ought to be going up for us. We say, okay, verse 13 through 18, wisdom, Adam, Genesis, tree of life. Verse 19 and 20, wisdom, the creation of the world. You say, wait a minute. Is this a wisdom meditation on the opening chapters of the book of Genesis so that I can rest secure when I go to sleep tonight? That's exactly what this is. Taking us back to the foundation of the world, children. Maybe you've had a time where something's gone wrong. You've been upset, something, a fight with a sibling, and your father or your mother has looked at you and said, let me just tell you about the day you were born, about how beautiful you were, about what it was like to hold you. Here's the king speaking to the son. Let me just tell you about the day this all began. Let me tell you about the first day that tree of life was planted. Let me tell you about the first raindrops from the clouds. Let me tell you about the first time those waves came crashing down on the shore. Because if you get that, you can rest secure. And the word he uses to describe this creation is the word that pervades Proverbs, wisdom. By wisdom, he founded the earth. The Lord here portrayed as the wise crafter of the earth. People in their field of expertise, you see them at work in the wise crafting. The sculptor making the final shaving. The chef doing the final rearranging of the food for the perfect presentation. Hear the Lord in his wisdom creating all this. The perfect color of green for the grass. The orange of the sunset on the horizon. The shaping of the tree that rises into the sky. Crafted in his wisdom. If you need convincing that the world is beautiful, that the world is meaningful, that the world is glorious, know this, the same wisdom that brings you to the tree of life is the wisdom that created the world you see. It's the wisdom that makes the dew to drop from the sky. And it's not two wisdoms. God spent some time creating, and he spent some time over here thinking about how to save us all. It's the wisdom of the Lord manifest in this world. He creates this world, a garden for us to dwell in. Verse 19 and 20, in foolishness we leave the garden. In wisdom he draws us back that we might dwell in perfection in his created world. Again, the created world is a display of the wisdom of Christ. You go to the Grand Canyon, the wisdom of God is on display. And you need to see this, because understanding the wisdom of God in creation, this is not saying that you go to the Grand Canyon and you see the fullness of the gospel, but you are seeing a Lord of wisdom. And you need to understand this. You need to understand this so you're not afraid. What do we mean? Well, there are different struggles we face that go to bed as we go to bed each night that tie to exactly not believing the reality of verses 19 and 20. And we'll just start there. People that don't believe the Lord in his wisdom created the earth. So often, people are led to despair, to depression, the depths of agony, because they come to believe they're random pieces of goo floating around in random galaxies. They think they're like that leaf in Forrest Gump. They're just floating around. And how can you rest secure when your life is just a leaf, just a vapor? And the idea is this. The Lord has created this world in wisdom. It's not a random world. And some people go toward actually disbelieving this, and some people just go towards living like it's not true. They don't see their life. They don't see their world as created in his wisdom. They just think they're another leaf. And suddenly the world seems like a dark world to them of chaos. And the Father here says, the Lord has created this world in wisdom. And maybe that's not where you are, but there's other Christians look at their lives and they see no point of their reality in this world. They're just waiting in their souls for the 4 a.m. spirit train to heaven. They don't have a sense of the reality and the glory of this world. And thinking that way will cause you to lose your vigor, will cause you to stop walking securely quite soon. And the point, the driving theme here is see the beauty, see the glory of the world around you. But then an objection comes, a question. What about the curse? Genesis 1, that's beautiful. Genesis 3, curse. How can these verses speak to me when I face the winter months and I'm scared to death of the colds that are coming to my family? How can the reality of a beautiful created world be speaking in power when it seems that verses 19 and 20 are speaking just of a time gone by? We need to see just a few things here. One is this. It may not be explicit in the verbs as you read them in English, but the verbs here have a present sense to them. He founded the earth, He established the heavens, and He is still establishing. He is still establishing the glory of His creation. He is still at work. Innovation all around us, medical discovery, all these things say there is a Lord of wisdom in this earth. But perhaps more profoundly this, read it in context of verses 13 through 18. Read it in context of a Lord who reverses curses. He reversed the curse that sent man out of the tree of life, and He will reverse the curse on this creation. And He will make all things new. So if you're struggling to rest secure, even this winter, I have an assignment for you. The text speaks of dew. And in the winter, we tend to experience dew as about a quarter inch of frost on our car. And nothing or few things make us more unable to rest secure, walk securely on the way, than being late to work, late to school, late to church, and seeing that quarter inch of frozen dew on my car. Here's your assignment. Every time you see the frost, remind yourself, quote to yourself, Proverbs 3, 19 and 20, and praise God for a sign that His wisdom is still in this world. As long as there's dew, there's the Lord's wisdom. The Lord is bringing life and creation. On those spiritually desperate nights when I was 10 years old, I prayed and I tossed and I turned. And I also had daily Bible readings. And at that time, the Lord had me in the book of Romans. And I poured over the Scriptures in a way I never had before. And the gospel came alive. By the time I finished Romans, I was sleeping again. And as I came to the last verse of Romans, the praise and cry of my heart could be this. Romans 16, 27. To the only wise God, glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. The only wise God. Whether you're stumbling on the way or whether you are not resting secure this evening in the Lord's confidence, contemplate the wisdom of the Lord and let your cry be that He is indeed the only wise God through Jesus Christ, who reverses the curse, makes all things new, and brings us to the tree of life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your wisdom, thank You for Your grace, and thank You for Your word. Give us Your wisdom, we pray, that we may rest secure. In Jesus' name, amen.